I want to talk to you about sacrifice, control, the two-time Indy 500 winner Al Unser Jr., and breaking a habit you don't want to be doing. Now, what do all those things have in common? They are in one way or another the outcome of a certain spiritual discipline. And the word discipline really has two associations. It's the repercussions of an unwanted action, but it's also the drive to practice something healthy in our lives. And I think you know what I'm talking about. It's the, do I want to work out or do I not? Do I want to eat healthy or do I not? And all that requires discipline. This is what creates in us the kind of life and the kind of people we want to live and be. Now, the same is true inside of our spiritual lives. And we're in a series entitled The Other 167, meaning outside of church every week, what are you doing with the other 167 hours to enhance your faith? And my heart is that these practices become ways that you grow in your walk with God and that you discover a depth of intimacy with Him that you haven't yet discovered. Spiritual disciplines aren't a have to, you know, kind of get in trouble if you don't do these things, but they are practical, they are sensible, and they're trustworthy. And to date in our series, we've looked at Bible reading and meditation, prayer, and solitude. And we actually put together three recap statements from those weeks. And if this is something that you are wanting to receive, I'm just going to ask you to text the word recap to 555-888, or our chat hosts will also put up a link for you as well, and you can get it that way. Today, I want to talk to you about the discipline of fasting. We live in a world where the goal of most is to satisfy every human appetite we have. Whether it's physical, material, sexual, whatever. Our system screams, if you want something, go for it. You deserve it. So to go without, to fast, it seems somewhat obsolete. Now, just so you know, we go to the Bible every week here at Hope City for a couple of reasons. It gives us a lot of practical advice on how to do life. And around here, we believe that following Jesus is the best decision anyone can make. And since the Bible tells us all about Jesus, it just makes sense to go there. And if you did a quick study in this book, you would discover a list of people, really the who's who, that have fasted. There was Moses, the lawgiver, David, the king, Elijah, the prophet, Esther, the queen, Daniel, the seer, Anna the prophetess, Paul the apostle, and even Jesus, God incarnate, fasted. And throughout scripture, fasting refers to abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It always centers on giving up food for outcomes, for guidance, and for intervention. It's sacrificing something we crave in order to connect with God in a greater way, or to petition or ask God for something. It's never commanded as a must, but it's implied as a measure, something we should practice. And because it's not commanded, it means we should actually see this as an opportunity in our lives, an opportunity to grow, a practice that draws us closer to God. That's actually the core of all spiritual disciplines when you think about it. They are saying, simply, God, I want to know you more. Fasting challenges us to take a pause from something in our life to press in closer to God. And it can be food, but it can be a slew of other things as well. And the central idea is sacrificing something we love, something we enjoy or need for the purpose of a deeper spiritual connection with God. And I actually think for all of us, that can be different. For some, it might be Netflix, okay? Others, it might be your phone. Some, it could be shopping. It's giving up something you love for someone you say you love more. In fact, there's this place in scripture where Paul even alludes to fasting from sex and marriage for a time. And I know some of you are going, what? Seriously, he says that? He writes it this way, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. And some of you, I get, are saying, man, that's too far. But the point is this, fasting is giving up something you love in order to press in closer with God. It's sacrifice. And if I were to challenge you to one day this coming week, one day to fast, what would you choose? And hear me out, I say one day because you need to start small in this discipline. You don't start by saying, okay, I'm fasting from my phone the entire next week. Well, most likely that ain't going to happen. You start small. And so what could you fast for one day in order to gain deeper spiritual traction in your life? And then once you've thought about that, I want to challenge you to do that one day this coming week. You know, Jesus also taught on fasting, which illustrates that this is important and it does matter. He said it this way. He said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, I want you to notice a few things here. It says this: when you fast, okay? It's not an if, it's not a maybe. Jesus is implying here a when, that this is something we do. And then he kind of says, don't let others know. Like, don't show others, right? Make it a private thing. So if you're fasting food, you're not going to post on social media, "Not eating today, I'm fasting," or "I'm so hungry, I need food." You get the idea, right? And Jesus actually talks about reward a couple times. He says here, if you let people know, you have your reward. And then he says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He lands that word there again. And reward here is meaning a favorable compensation brought about by God. It's this benefit. At the core of all this, Jesus was dealing with motive. Fasting isn't about us getting God to do what we want. It's about God getting to do what he wants inside of us. Fasting actually illustrates our dependence upon him. Fasting pushes our dependencies. Fasting teaches us that nothing is more vital than knowing God in a greater way. There's actually two incredible byproducts of this discipline. And the first one, it's a little intriguing to me, okay? Fasting reveals the things that control us. Think about that for a moment. Fasting reveals the things that control us. So if we can't go with something in our life, that something is only noticed when we go without it. It's then, if we're honest, where we discover what we are controlled by. And David, he was a writer in a lot of the Psalms in the Bible, and that's kind of in the middle of the Old Testament. And by the way, I love how raw and honest David was when he was writing these Psalms. He puts it this way. He says, "I humbled myself with fasting." And the word humbled here means to be afflicted. It means it was a struggle. And true fasting, it's not easy because it makes us face the reality of what controls us, what is firmly fixed inside of our lives. And most of us, when faced with this, we find that a difficult process. But that's actually how we become transformed into the image of Jesus. That's how we're constantly changing, ever increasingly becoming more like him. Fasting helps us to recognize when something leads us more than Jesus does, when something controls us greater than his ways do, when something motivates us stronger than he does. And the truth is, a lot of us cover up what's inside of us, and we do this in a whole bunch of ways and with a whole bunch of things. But in fasting, what we tend to normally cover up surfaces. And here's what I mean by that. If pride controls you, almost immediately it will surface. If racism is in you, it will surface. If there's anger in your life, if there's bitterness or jealousy, even fear, if they are within you, they will surface during fasting. And the key is that we don't rationalize away these things, but we run into them in order to diminish and abolish their control in our lives. It kind of makes sense, right? When we sacrifice something we love, we tend to figure out the things that drive us, the things that control us, the things that are present within us. What controls us surfaces when we fast. Now, May 24th is not a significant date for a lot of people, but for one family, it is. Those of you who are into car racing know the name Al Unser. Now, Al Unser Sr. has won the Indy 500 race four times. And one of those wins was on May 24th, 1987. His son, Al Unser Jr., has won it twice, and one time being May 24th, 1992. But on May 24th, actually just a few weeks ago, Al Jr. talked about how this day was a big day for him. It marked 1 year of sobriety for him. See, he talked about how for years he had struggled with alcohol and how those and this affected his life. And in the past few years, he started attending a friend of mine's church, and in that process, he found Jesus. And he started to put some spiritual disciplines into practice, and he said that with Jesus staying central in his life, he's been able to overcome the demon that he's faced for so long, and it's been a year now. And he said it wasn't until he gave it up did he realize how much he had to give it up. You see, it wasn't until Al gave up the very thing that controlled him that he was able to gain control of his life. So first, fasting reveals the things that control us. Second, fasting helps to break the things that control us. All of us can recognize pretty quickly that we can allow non-essentials to take precedence and even drive us. We all know how we can crave things to the point that we become addicted or enslaved by them. And Paul, a New Testament writer, says it this way: I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. What we crave and desire can easily take over our lives. And fasting helps to keep these things in their proper place. And if you take that one step further, fasting can bring breakthroughs that will never happen in any other way. So friend, do you need a breakthrough? Do you need to let something control you less? Practice the discipline of fasting. You know, Richard Foster, in his book, it's entitled Spiritual Disciplines, he says, fasting is feasting. Fasting is feasting, meaning when we fast, we abstain from something, but we feast on God and his word. We focus on the richness of feeding our spiritual selves. See, fasting doesn't make us miserable. Fasting makes our Christian journey measurable. It allows us to constantly measure what may take the place of God in our lives and bring those things into greater perspective and clarity. And I love what God said through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. Prophets were spokespersons for God, and he was speaking to the people of Israel who, they just got messed up on their priorities on fasting. Their outcomes from fasting were anything but spiritual. And God says these words to them. He says, "Is this or is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." Do you see what he's saying here? Fasting is all about allowing God to break the things that control us. So check out the language. We have first to loose the chains, right? To untie the cords, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. All of that language is freedom language. It's saying breakthrough language. They are letting go terms. They are saying leave something behind and move forward. And so if you're in a spot today where you're not happy with something that may be in your life, something that may be controlling you, I want to speak Jesus' words to you one more time, and I'm going to ask you just to listen to them. Jesus said this: "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Two things I want to challenge you with. Number one, take one day this week and sacrifice something you love and just practice fasting. And number two, if you are controlled by something you don't want to be controlled by, consider fasting in order to break the habit. And remember this: fasting is not about us getting God to do what we want. It's about God getting to do what he wants inside of us. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you give us these specific challenges in your word. I thank you that you always desire for us to go deeper and just get to know you more through these disciplines in our lives. And so I pray for every person that's just watching here that they may put a discipline like fasting into practice in their lives. I ask God that you give them the ability to do this. I ask God that you give them the strength and the willpower and just your guidance through this. And Lord, I pray that as they take this, may they draw closer to you. As they engage with this, may they know you deeper and greater. And Lord, in the midst of that, may you reveal things in their life, habits that control them. May you break those habits. May you free them from those habits. May you set them on a course that's unique and different from a course in the past. And so, Lord, I just pray that over them and for them. And I ask God that you just bless them even this week as they practice this discipline of fasting. You know, maybe you're watching and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And, you know, fasting is about getting God to do what he wants to do inside of us. And can I just tell you, God loves you. He's got a plan for you and he wants to do life with you. He came and died for you on a cross. He rose again to offer you life now and forevermore. And if you're watching and you're saying, I need Jesus in my life, I just want to pray a prayer with you. And it's as simple as that. It's saying, yeah, I assent to this. I believe in him and I want to ask him into my life. And why don't you just pray along with me? Jesus, I see my need for you, and I thank you for going to the cross. I thank you for dying and rising again. I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins so that I can have a reset and a new start. And I really want that work of you inside of my life. And so this day I declare that I want to follow you and know you. I want to pattern my life after you. And so I invite you to do just that. And I pray that as I move on from today, I may understand what it means to know you and practice these disciplines in my life and get to know you in a greater way. And so I thank you for that. And Lord, I also pray over every family, over every individual, and every couple that's watching. I ask God that you bring them strength, grace, mercy, hope. I pray that you just speak into their lives, into their circumstances. I pray that you move and may they depend upon you, knowing that the God above all gods is orchestrating, is moving, and is doing something inside of their life and inside of their homes. And so I just pray blessing over every single person in your awesome name, Jesus. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer with me where you committed your life to Christ, maybe for the first time, or maybe it was a recommitment prayer, I'm going to ask you to text the word life to 555-888. We'd love to get a digital booklet in your hand that just talks a little bit more about what it means to know Jesus and also give you an opportunity to connect with one of our pastors on our team. Our chat host will also put up a link that you can engage with that does exactly the same. Thanks for tuning in this week. Hope City, you are loved and prayed for consistently. God bless you guys.